Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Pushbusting Nation, it is always wonderful to be back with you for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. Yes, so you're now locked into Untapped Potential on TDN Radio, and it is always great to be in your company as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So today is no exception. We are here, we are now in September 12th, 2023. As we know, yesterday was 9/11, September 11th, and yet another anniversary of the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. So we continue to pray for those who lost their lives during that terrorist attack, and we continue to pray for peace in the world, just peace in the world, and that we are able to respect each other, and that we are able to just find peace and tranquility and stop all the war, the fighting, the friction amongst nations. So again, welcome to the program. As we talked about last week, we will have the second portion of the interview that we did with Mrs. Alex Boyd Knight of late memory, as well as Neandra Peltier and Mema Raphael. And again, a lot of the information relates to Christmas, but those are our traditions, our traditional Creole cuisines that we are talking about. And it is in honor of the passing of Mrs. Alex Boyd Knight. So last week I brought you the first part of that interview that we did with her back in 2000. And today I want to bring you the second portion. And as a matter of fact, I want the entire program to play today. So we won't have a tip of the week this week, but we will be sure to bring you one next week. So we have a lot of great programming for you today. And of course, if you missed the first part of the program with Mrs. Alex Boyd Knight, you can always go on to pushpast10.com. So that's pushpast10.com, and you can click on the media link and it will take you to the past podcast of this program, so you can listen to our program last week as well as any other program, any other episode of Untapped Potential you may have missed along the way. So as always, it is great to be here with you. We like to start the program on a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? As for me, we continue to be grateful for life, for health, mentally and physically. We'll continue to be grateful for our families. Sophia is actually on her first trip away from her parents. Oh my God, pray for me. So she's on her very first school trip now that she's 12, away from her family. We were not allowed to go on this particular trip. It is actually a Christian retreat because she goes to a Christian school and they're having a retreat just for the kids. So she's accompanied by her teachers, by her friends, and lots of supervision. We made sure she has a lot of supervision. So she's very excited to be on her own, you know, asserting a little bit of her independence. So we are happy for her. So as always, we like to get the program off and running with a great song, a great energizing song. And I thought I would bring you this one from my favorite banker, trendsetter, Naren Murthy out there in Dominica. And this one is called Figures, because of course this program is about celebrating our culture as well. So let us enjoy this number from Mr. Naren Trendsetter Murphy, a calypso called Figures, and then we will go straight into the interview, and then we will wrap up the program once the interview is over. So stay tuned.
Yes, I Trendsetter. I'm a born Dominican, a school Dominican. I love co-ed schools, accounts, and mathematics. From young I had a love for figures, a love for numbers. The bigger, more exciting it was for me. Love the figures big,
big, big, big. Value for my money.
Go like them small,
small, small, small.
No challenge at all. Love the figures big,
big, big, big.
The bigger the better, more time to calculate. Go like them small,
small, small, small.
It takes no effort working them out at all. But
big, big figures
is a man desire. Once you can handle it, then tackle it. Let me go now. Bim bam 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 bam, bim bam bam bam. Hey. I am a born Dominican, an employed Dominican, senior loans officer. At the NBD, my job entails working hard on figures, getting specific numbers. My clients smile when our figures show compatibility. Love the figures big,
big, big, big.
Value for my money. Go like them small,
small, small, small.
No challenge at all. Love the figures big,
big, big, big.
The bigger the better, set by the manager. Don't like them small,
small, small, small.
It takes no effort working them out at all. But
big, big figures
is an accountant desire. Once you can handle it, then make a move on it. Here we go now. Bam 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 bam, bim bam bam. Hey. I am a born Dominican, son of a chief statistician. I'm the treasurer of the Calypso Association. Late in the night, I'm working the figures to my total satisfaction. Observer and others can't ask me no financial question. Love the figures big,
big, big, big.
Value for my money. Don't like them small,
small, small, small.
No challenge at all. Love the figures big,
big, big, big.
The bigger the better, said President Observer. Don't like them small,
small, small, small.
Working them out at all. But
big, big figures,
the association desire. Once we can handle it, then we will tackle it. Yes. Figures, 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 figures. Hey. Love the figures big,
big, big, big.
Value for my money. But
like them small.
Small, small, small.
Don't challenge at all. Love the figures big.
Big, big, big.
The bigger the better. More time to calculate. Don't like them small.
Small, small, small.
It takes no effort working them out at all. But
big, big, bigger.
My personal desire. Once I can handle it, then I will jump on it. Here we go now. Bim bam 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 bam, bim bam bam. Hey, big figures, big figures, big figures.
I know she's on a time crunch. So, Mrs. Knight, what are some of the traditions we're seeing that are disappearing from Dominica? The ones we should really hold near and dear.
Shall I tell you my pet peeve?
Yes, talk to
me. When you go to a restaurant or any place you know, and you ask for for ginger beer, they bring you iced ginger tea.
What's the difference?
I belong to a generation where it was ginger beer, and because it was beer, it fizzed. And so you had a nice fizzy drink. But nobody that in the culinary business in Roseau, as far as I know, bothers about putting ginger to ripe. So all they serve you is ginger tea. That's my pet peeve, especially around food. Because sorry was also put to ripe and be a fizzy drink. Sorry. You see, back in the day, remember my age, we didn't have soft drinks. We used to get soft drinks from Barbados when I was a child, BBC.
Yeah.
We didn't manufacture soft drinks in Dominica. Mm-hmm. So to get something fizzy, we made ginger beer and sorrel.
Yeah.
Adequate.
Right.
But then people used to make their ginger beer and their sorrel. My thing is that when I start making ginger beer for the season, I use a pinch of yeast in it. And use that as my fizzing agent.
Okay.
But you always get a little taste of it, the yeast. But I do like the people. I leave back into a half bottle.
That's a good question. Does it ferment?
Is it fermented?
Yes, it ferments. Yes.
That's how we did and wine. We drink that's how my drink, mom did.
I leave back that half bottle of my story. To put in the next set of ginger beer I make as the leaven. So that is, I don't have to use, whether you use rice or yeast, you don't have to use it the second time if you leave back a bottle from the time before.
Okay.
So it goes. Mm-hmm. And it that makes the thing taste, according to one of my nieces. Auntie, it making it taste official. That's her way of describing something that is on par with what she's expecting. Official.
Store-bought.
Now, quickly, I'm going to tell you of an incident. When you put sorrel and ginger beer to ripe, do not close the bottle tight. That's a key rule because it can explode. As happened to a friend of mine, when my daughter was a student in Barbados, I asked a friend to take her a bottle of sorrel and I warned him, do not close the bottle tight. Well, when he got to the hotel and he put down the bag that had the sorrel, there was a mighty explosion and red one all over the floor. Oh. And that was the time when bombs were going off everywhere.
Oh my God.
And then the man told me, never, 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 never give me anything to carry for nobody for you. You know? So we have lost, another thing we've lost is shrub. Shrub is a liqueur that you made from a combination of sour orange, sweet orange, and Gospo orange. Gospo is seven, the one that you normally make.
Me too.
And they used to make the shrub, which is a nice liqueur. People used to make sorrel liqueur too. And there's falernum. I don't hear anybody talking about falernum.
What is falernum?
Corn and
what
oil.
Is that?
Phylilum. They call it phylilum in
What is it made out of?
What is it?
It has an anise taste. If I had to call it anything, I'd call it an anise liqueur. Very nanny beast.
Oh, okay.
And what did you use it for?
to drink. It was just another drink.
Okay.
These are all Christmas drinks. They call it Falernum is the proper English name, but you know what we like to change it. They call it Philylum. They just call it corn and oil. And we had the another thing that for the life of me, I use it, but the kosher parfumi that we used to get back in the day.
Yes.
And that, whatever it is they sell and put in that plastic, is not the same.
It's not the same.
No.
It's not the same.
The same.
Because I remember when you kill, when you, people, there are people in Trafalgar who still do it properly, yeah? Where, first of all, you used to have to salt the meat, whatever meat, usually the belly, you salt it. And I used to say, Monday, Dominicans, how they live so long on rusty galvanized with this, you put the thing.
And they put it to dry.
Right.
And dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it stays dry with the salt over a few days.
Yes.
And then when it's thoroughly dry, that's when they take it and they smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
What they sell for you there, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just not the same.
Different.
I saw you. I saw you in your video. You used was it clove essence?
That's a fish kubuya video, right?
Yes. Easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Put the dry clove in a little mayonnaise or cherry bottle.
Right.
Strong room over it. 2 days later, clove essence. Easy.
We are learning today.
Yeah. Didn't know that. Didn't know that.
Did I?
Oh wow! I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna try that.
Easy like that. I have some people there. Doing stuff for me. We're preparing for my other big program I'm doing tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'm putting sorrel and ginger beer to soup to make sorrel and ginger beer tomorrow.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
Sounds good.
So, and that's another thing. People grate the sorrel, grind it. I scratch my ginger, call it I scrape it
with a spoon,
and I take it and cut it thinly.
Mm-hmm.
And pour my boiling water over it.
Mm.
And then next day or day after, whenever, I pour it in the
strain.
I strain it. And what stays in the strain, I put it to boil again. When you taste the ginger that I decide I'm finished with, it has no taste.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I've gotten my money's worth. So my sorrel, when I tell you I finished making sorrel white, and then
all the red gone.
Yeah. El Chipo.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, what people miss, what you get at first blush when you make a sorrel is the color. You have to boil that sorrel for a long time to get a real nice flavor. If you don't boil it, you don't get the flavor. You see?
Yeah, that's true. And what do you think about the dry sorrel that they have now?
I don't think about it. No, seriously, when I used to use dry sorrel when I was overseas and I didn't have a choice, but to tell you the truth, I'd rather buy frozen sorrel than dried sorrel.
Mm.
Right.
Because somehow the dry sorrel loses something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can never make dry sorrel into fresh sorrel like the people who like fresh sorrel.
I feel it's also a bit bitter as well sometimes.
Mm.
That's because they're drying. I'm not fond of the black sorrel. Eh? I like red sorrel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you know. You have Jamaican connections. You may know that there is an all-year-round variety of sorrel.
Mm-hmm. I have sorrel. They call it Jamaican hibiscus.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, but it tastes the same like the sorrel. Yeah. That is what I since end of August, I've been picking my sorrel, and it's not a sorrel that you just take the branch and whatever. You pick the one on the branch, you pick what is ready, and you leave the rest another day.
This year I went to...
It's not commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This year I went to Israel, and I saw sorrel there. They call it Roselle.
Oh, and that's right.
Yeah, it's our sorrel. And it was... And they sell it.
In Uganda, I got it. In Kenya, I got it. Then they call it Roselle too.
Mm-hmm. And then they have the white one as well. Mm-hmm.
White sorrel.
I haven't seen the white one.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
And it tastes the same?
We have a plant in the yard.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a bit more, it's not as tangy. It's more mild. It tastes sort of like almost champagne-y.
Mm.
I don't know how to explain it.
It has it's not a little sourness to it that is just nice.
Yes. Mm. Not harsh.
Yeah, now we're going to get ready for Mema to do a little presentation for us because, you know, it's Christmas time, so she's going to do a nice little display for us. So, Mema, I don't know if you want to get ready.
It's going to take some time. Absolutely. It's going to take some time because I'm going to try to do a board. I know that Mrs. Knight talked about hors d'oeuvres, you know, that her parents would put out. I'm sorry, I don't have chocolate, but I do have other knickknacks. And I try to make it accessible. So if people in Dominica, they may be able to create this board. Mm-hmm. There's cheeses. There's a lot of other things on there. And some of it is local that you can find in Dominica. And some of it we may not be able to, but not much of it is. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. So I'm going to try to put it together and then you guys can continue conversation while I'm...
Yes, yes. So while you're doing that, while you're setting up, a question came in for you, Mrs. Knight. Dear Shapsman asked, how did she make the clove essence? I think he missed when you were talking about that.
So shall I say it again?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let me get it. I have one there.
Okay, please do.
Bring the thing up for me now, please. The bottle of clove.
Let me mute you a little bit, Mema.
Well, oh, yeah, perfect.
Yes, I'll just mute you a little bit. Yeah, so while we're waiting, Neander.
I have it right here.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just going to go back to that cake on the coal pot. Okay.
And you can see it's a cherries vinegar. So I just filled it with cloves. I just put in all the dry cloves that I got in it. Mm-hmm. And then I poured in some strong rum. Cask rum is fine. The stronger the rum, the better. And I left it 2 days later. I had clove essence. You see the clove essence?
I'm definitely going to try that.
Wow.
And let me tell you what I like about it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing Dominicans do, which one day I hate. You go to somebody and they offer you their ham. Invariably, you get a piece of clove in it that you bite into, and oh my god, thereafter you feel, but I don't remember having a bad tooth, you know?
Yep.
But this now, after you use, let's say you put it in and you filled it and you're using all the liquid, then it's empty. You just put in more rum.
Yeah.
It won't be as strong, but you get, and so you can go on until the cloves themselves. They get to a nice brown color and you know, okay, they've had it. Yeah. That brown color, if you put it on your ham, it will not offend anybody because it's so mild. It just gives this lovely flavor that we actually like with our ham.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a really good tip for how to get the flavor without the clove.
I love that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so like this one, I've put in, I think, 3 sets of rum have gone in there and it's pretty strong still.
Yeah, okay. It looks really dark, yeah.
And then you can use that in your fish, in your, I know we like to put that in our red beans. When we cook in wild meat, we like to use clove. A lot of things that we do, we like to use clove.
Because I have cloves in my cabinet right now, and I don't use it for that exact same reason, because I don't want to buy and have that experience.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so if anybody's just joining us, I'm Simone and you're watching Sase Nu, Christmas Creole Traditions. And we are honored to have the former Speaker of the House, Mrs. Alec Boyd Knight with us, as well as Mema Raphael and Neander Peltier. And we're just sharing some tips and tricks for getting your Christmas cooking done this year. So let's talk more about some of the drinks, because we talked about sorrel and ginger beer, but let's talk about the real drinks, the punches, the rum punch, the coconut punch. Do you guys have any favorites and how do you make them?
Punch or cream?
Punch or cream for me too.
Okay.
Everybody does their punch or cream differently, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. An old lady in Trinidad taught me how to do it, and I think mine is safe. Because a lot of people make it like the Puerto Ricans make the coquito and they're using raw egg, and I'm not into raw egg.
Yeah, same.
No.
I separate my eggs and I'm only using the yolk. So I use 12 yolks and I put it in a double boiler. Well, any pan that fits into another one, we are all cooks here, we know that is a double boiler.
Yeah.
So I have a stainless steel bowl that fits into a nice little a cake pan, actually. So I put it in there. I beat the egg yolk with maybe two or three lime pieces, peels from three limes. I beat it well to get a nice flavor as well as getting rid of it. And then I put in four tins of condensed milk in it. I mix it well. I've set it over the double boiler and I just take my time. I keep adding boiling water to the side of it because, as I tell you, I'm using a stainless tin bowl and I'm putting it in a big cake pan with water over the fire. I cover it at intervals, but I have a whisk, which I call a tennis racket. It must be twice the oldest among it must be three times your age. Because wow. I have it since before I got married. It's a tala. You don't see tala. All companies that we old people grew up with, they went out of business because they produced things that lasted too long. So after this, you never get to sell you another one.
You never bought it again.
No, you never wanted another one. You never needed another one. Mm-hmm. So that's why some countries, I shall not name them, get very rich because after 2 weeks, you have to buy another one.
Right. Yeah.
That's all. So you beat that beat and you keep stirring it. Eh? It tends to stick. So you have to stir it. And it gets so thick, very, very thick, and it's cooked. So it's like a custard now we've ended up with just the egg yolk and the condensed milk and your lime peel.
Yeah, somebody says it sounds like a shodo recipe.
No, Glenda says that.
That's Glenda, no.
Wrong. You put in your condensed milk with the egg thing. It gets so thick, very, very thick. I almost put in consistency. Mm-hmm. Then when it cools, you add a little bit of evaporated milk at a time just to thin it out. And when it's thin enough, then you add your brandy and bitters, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mm-hmm. don't put nutmeg or anything like that in it. The brandy and the bitters just puts it over the top.
Yes, and everyone is really appreciative about the clove recipe. Someone said, yeah. I will use it in my red beans for sure.
Yeah. You see, there are lots of little tricks that you can employ mm-hmm. and still keep the traditional flavor.
Yes.
Look, it's like people now put coloring in their stew. When a little effort, let's say if I'm stewing pork, I season my pork in the ordinary way and everything else. And then when I'm ready to cook it, I put my oil on the fire. In the pan, or my pan on the fire and put the oil in it. Let the oil get really, really hot. I put in white sugar, never brown sugar. And as I put in the white sugar, as soon as I don't wait for it to bubble, I then put in my pork.
Really?
So actually what is happening is that the sugar is coating the pork and helping it to brown quickly, but without burning, so you get that bitter taste and everything else. And it leaves it with a nice sweet taste.
Right.
That's how I do mine.
Mm-hmm,
and then mm-hmm. I turn it into pilau or whatever else I want to do.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all those little tips and tricks with us. And Neander, you have a drink, a recipe for us, an alcoholic drink, I might say.
my favorite drink, Christmas, that is, I like the punch or cream, but I also really love a nice rum punch, lime punch.
Yeah.
My mom does a really good lime punch. Or she calls it Auntie Patty's rum punch. So it actually went as far as my brother is now, I would say, the second best at making it. He lives in Virginia, and he every year he has a rum punch party. So he does different types of rum punch. He does lime, he does passion fruit, sometimes mango, variety of fruits. And then he has all these people from all over the states, I guess those that probably live close. Some people come from far and they end up in the rum punch party every summertime. So rum punch is a big part of our family. So every year we have rum punch. And we have the punch or cream. My sister-in-law, she really loves punch ginger cream, so we have to have it. But yeah, it's rum punch for me.
And you know, we have a very interactive audience with us tonight.
And I cannot forget, recently, you know, we have a family business where we do moringa. We're into moringa, and my dad created this moringa rum.
Really?
Yes, and the color is amazing. The color is like this shocking, and it looks fake, but it's not. But it's from the leaves. But it's a good punch. If you have a sore throat, it's a good bush rum. You have a sore throat, it's gone. Take one shot, it's gone.
So is it like a nanny?
It's not as distinct as a nanny. It's okay. More of this green sort of, you know, most, it has a little peppery sort of taste, but it became very popular right now. You know, we have it, we do have it, you know, we have it for sale, but you know, just home, or you could just bring your rum and we'll infuse it for you.
That's interesting. Someone has a question for you. It says, Miss Peltier, what seasoning do you use for your lamb leg?
Oh, my lamb leg. I give my lamb leg a dry rub. So I clean my leg up, get all the, I don't take off the fat on the top, because that's, you know, it gives it a lot of juice. I just, you know, chop off what needs to be chopped off. I wash it. And I create a dry rub, my own dry rub. So I add, I love Indian seasonings. So I put cardamom, garam masala, I put a little turmeric, salt, black pepper, little garlic powder. And I tend to dry, sometimes I dry my own herbs. So if I have some celery that I'm not going to use anymore, that's a good trick. If you know, if you don't want to, for wastage purposes, you dry your celery, you dry your parsley, you could dry it in the oven on a very low fire, and you blend them all together and you give your lamb leg a nice rub and good, very generous coating, and you kind of poke it with a knife and put some you could put garlic cloves in all the holes, put some rosemary in there as well. And when I put it in my pan, I put a little oil, and then I put some carrots at the bottom, and then I rest the lamb leg on the carrots, and I cover it with foil. I make sure I seal it very well, because you don't want
to faint.
And you put it, you know, you have your oven on and you put it in there. It depends, you know, you have different sizes. So the amount of time depends on the size of the lamb. Because lamb legs can take quite a while to in the oven, you know, probably about 45 minutes to 2 hours, depending on the size. And halfway in the cooking process, I remove the foil and then I let it roast. So it creates a nice little crust. And then you have the juices. So you try not to poke it too much when it's in the oven, because you don't want to release the juices too much. You still want to, you know, you just have to time it. You can slice a little piece towards the end of your timing and then see if it's good. You don't want your lamb leg too dry either. Nobody likes dry lamb. Nice, moist lamb.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And Mema, just let us know when you're ready. Mrs. Knight, you have anything, any final words for us before you head out?
Yes, let me tell you, something that we underuse here tremendously is sour orange. And you know, when I make when you make the traditional fruitcake, you usually put candied peel. Now, candied peel gives a lovely flavor, yes, but my experience is that people always fish it out of their mouth delicately and put it in a napkin or something. Now, I'll tell you what is a very good substitute. You see this sour orange? I have a tree and I love it. Not gospel. There's two different, eh? Sour orange, when you cut it, is like color of a grapefruit. Gospel or Seve real orange, when you cut it, is bright orange. So you can't mix up the two. One is bitter, one is sour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, okay, the rind of that sour orange, when I put it in my eggs, when I'm mixing my eggs to beat my eggs before I start adding them to my creamed butter and sugar,
mm-hmm,
that sour orange gives an extraordinary flavor to your fruit cake.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you use a lot of egg in fruit cake, and I've smelled fruit cake that get a little on the eggy side. You know, that's
too much egg.
Odor that the Caribbean people don't like to take in eggs.
Yes.
Okay. Now, sour orange. When I make my sweet potato pudding, I also use the rind of sour orange as my flavoring. I use that, and I use a lot of white pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really use essences and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that sour orange rind, even when I'm icing cake, instead of using, you know, when you make boiled icing, which is what I do, I use the sour orange juice. It gives it a lovely flavor, better than lime.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just suggesting that, you know, sometimes we have things that we really have available to us, which we overlook. You know, now that I've said so, you will be surprised to know how expensive this selling sour orange, you know, in the market.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because previously they gave it away practically.
Really?
You know, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of stuff that we're not using that for example, there's something that people used to use in their kaku long ago. One of the lilies is the shell ginger. It has a lovely vanilla flavor. Now that vanilla is getting scarce, more and more scarce. People used to use that in their to flavor their cuckoo long ago. The shell ginger lily, the flower from it. You take the scent of it, smells like vanilla.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much, Mrs. Knight. I know you have other commitments this evening.
Just let me tell you, the color I was looking for, there's a liqueur called Chartreuse.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably the color of the moringa drink.
It's probably it's like a shocking color green, you know.
Yes. Bright or the color of my house.
Okay. Yeah.
The color of my house, which the name of the color is, if you miss it, it's not my fault.
When I
that's the name of the color.
That's what you need to tell
me. If I tell you living in a bright greenhouse, and you miss it, it's not my fault.
It's your fault. It's the other person's fault.
When I come in a couple of weeks, I will check it out.
Okay. Yeah, okay, folks, it's lovely being here.
Yes.
Can we meet otherwise on Facebook or something?
Yes. So we said
set it up and just let me know.
Okay? Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Yes,
I am hopeless at that. I have to get help, you know, to go on Zoom and all these kind of
things. Well, you did just fine. You did just fine, Mrs. Knight. And thank you so much for joining us. We have to do this again. And this time we're going to actually walk through a recipe.
Yes. And I want to see her thing before I go.
Her board, yes.
Okay, let's see. Mema, are you ready? Oh, there it is.
Wow.
Yes, wow, let me make sure you're unmuted.
Oh, are you muted?
Are you muted on your end, Mema?
She's muted.
I'm on mute. Okay. Let me.
So walk us through it.
Okay, sure. So, I don't know if you guys can see. Mm-hmm. So I added some cheddar cheese because I know in Dominica it's pretty accessible. Then I have some bakes on skewers with some acra. So bakes and acra, mm-hmm, on mini skewers. I have some guacamole I just made with some cherry tomatoes and pepper flakes and avocado. I have some Crix crackers, you know, Dominica's favorite Crix crackers.
Mm-hmm.
I have some baguette, which is just bread that I added. I added some grapes. I have some mango slices. This is dried mangoes. I have some plantain chips right here. And then I added some more crackers. I have some salami. The salami is really good. I actually even have, I normally add the big piece of salami as well because it just gives the board a little more oomph. So I can certainly add it, add this other piece to the collection here. And I have some cashews because I know in Dominica we do have lots of cashews and hopefully they're not very super expensive. I made some Dominican cheese spread. I know Miss Knight, you may be very familiar with this. When we mix like mustard, mayo, and then cheese,
And then I figured out, you know, the cube cheese that we have, we could make some little festive little trees here. So I had rosemary, some pepper flakes, and then
Are you guys able to see?
Yeah.
Just tilt it a little bit down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then
there you go. There you go.
Okay.
Here I added some honey. I know in honey, like I have some friends who have who are beekeepers, like Orly's. She does rare.
Yes, I just bought some honey from her the other day. Yes, really nice.
Mm-hmm. And then I usually use it like this on my board, so I'll add it later when I'm taking a picture. I use the bee with the wax also. The kids love it. They love. Yeah, so it's not, you know, a big variety.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Knight. Have a good evening. We'll do this again soon, okay?
Take care. Yeah,
thanks for having me. I enjoyed it very much. That's lovely, my dear. Okay, then, bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Take care.
Take care. Okay,
Yeah.
Yes, so, Mamus.
Let me turn on
the presentation.
Yeah, let me turn on this one.
Yes, please.
I don't know if we leave, right?
So am I on with the next one? Not yet, right? Let's see. Can you see?
Very pretty.
Okay. And voila, I have my Crayola fabric, of course. And then this is really heavy. This is about 24 inches wide.
Right.
But you certainly don't have to have a big board like this. Some people can use square boards. I actually have one here, like a tray, right? So if you don't have a board that's this wide, you can use a tray. And this tray was made with local stuff, local bark, you know, from the wood. And then it's pretty solid wood in the middle. And then here, bark again on the side. And if you can kind of fit everything in here, it will look really cool. The more compact it is, the better. So you kind of want to make sure that you don't leave any space around just so it looks more filling.
Yeah, and you know something we struggle with, Memo, and thank you again for the presentation, but I think sometimes we struggle with how to give it height. Because I try to do, you know, I'm not a very creative person, so I try to do something like that and it just all looks flat. So how do you give it some height?
Sure, what you do is you always use little jars, right? So, or containers. So I try my best to use, like when my sauces or my dips, I put them in little bowls. Sometimes I put the same color. Sometimes I put contrasting color, like sometimes I could use wooden bowls, but I think contrasts work really nice and it kind of creates more color on the on the board. And then you have like I mounted the bakes, you know, I put them a little bit higher so it looks like a pile. And also with the cheese too, I pile up the cheese here and I also pile up the plantains. Because sometimes we usually just do it flat, but don't be afraid to just kind of stuff it in and
squish it together.
Squish it together, make it more compact and use like a different landscape, like different types. So you have a not just a flat surface, but you have more of a like hills and valleys kind of landscape. So with the grapes, it certainly gives it more height. And then with the jars, like the honey container, like I could have gone with the flat one, which I always do. I do too. You know, like I put a chunk of honeybee, the beeswax. I usually put it in like a little bowl. So, you know, it's accessible because it drains, but it's really good because you can just dip in it. And then I always use jams or jellies with my boards. Again, it gives it height and variety. So you have more variety, more height, and just more things for people to dig into.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this, Mema. And while we have the mic, we have you on the mic, tell us a little bit about your gourmet blog and your store.
Sure. Okay, let me just turn up this camera here. One second. Put this in here. Well, I started this blog because, of course, I was quarantined like everyone else.
Yes.
And couldn't really do, you know, I used to have a lot of food at work, of course, because I work in tech and they feed you a lot of food. So I would get all my meals at work. I would even bring food home. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really used to spend a lot of time in the kitchen. But then when I came home and I was quarantined, then I realized, God, I have like a 6-footer son to feed. My husband, you know, he's like, where's the food? We need more food. And then, you know, I have 3 kids. So I have a whole litter of kids, plus my husband, whose birthday is today, actually. So we're going to really pig out on this. Thanks. He's somewhere in the other room. So it became a matter of survival that I started cooking a lot. I mean, I love to cook. I love, love, love to cook. But I felt like there was no urgency for me to cook all the time. So now that we're quarantined, and then I joined this lovely Dominican food group. So, of course, I got very inspired to just, you know, highlight our wonderful meals. And I decided to just document this, because everybody would say, oh, wait, what's the recipe for this? And then the recipe for this. And I'm like, okay, you take 2 of this and you add 1 of this in the comments, because I'm a big talker. Like, that's me. Like, if you make a comment on my post, you'll get a whole paragraph, because that's who I am. And actually, that's what I work doing. But it's part of, you know, my personality, super social. So I would write all the recipes for everyone and felt like, wow, this wasn't really, it's not scalable. You know, you can't be writing recipes all the time for people asking questions. So then I decided to create the blog, and I call it Dominica Gourmet, because I felt like we certainly have a lot of foods that could use a little bit of updating. Yeah. So I just tried to, yeah. And I'm sure that's what you're doing too, Ms.
Yeah, that's what the angle is.
Yes, I have seen your work. I love your creativity. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's one of those in Dominica where I can tell, like, you put a lot of effort into it, mm-hmm. and you're able to kind of put your creativity, and it could be on an international scale, you know?
Yeah. So I'm just trying to change the culinary game down here. It's super traditional.
Yeah.
Palettes of the people are very traditional as well.
Yeah.
So that's why I couldn't just rip, mm-hmm. you know, just rip the Creole out of it. I had to just infuse it, because it wouldn't have been a good thing at all.
No, I totally understand. And that's why I said, look, I'm able to do a website. I built a website. I'm able to do all that. So I'm like, let's just make our food, like, put it on a global scale.
Yes, you know? I love that.
You know, and then the Neanders of the world, like, people will be more accepting of what you're doing in Dominica, because, of course, they don't see the traditional way of always doing kalalu. Perhaps you put the kalalu in a bread bowl, you know, which is what I did, you know? Yeah. Or you just do something with the bakes, like you put them on skewers. I love putting bakes on skewers, and I love putting acras on skewers.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, and my kids, that's how they eat it, because they feel like, I try to make food fun for them, because, of course, some of them are picky eaters.
Right now, I have to close the window. You know why? A bursting canoe.
Oh.
And I'm smelling the kerosene. It's Christmas time.
Oh, Christmas. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, that's okay. So, then I created the blog, and then people always say, where do you get your forks and where do you get your plates? Yes. So then I said, okay, I'm just going to have to source it. So I started sourcing. So I started doing enamel plates. And as of last 2 weeks, I private label my enamel plates. So it says Dominica Gourmet. Oh, yes.
Wow. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I went and I found a source that's really good. And I helped, like, we worked on the design and everything else. Mm-hmm. And it looks really good. And then, you know, going into the cutlery game, I can show you what I've got. 1 second.
Yes,
no problem.
Everyone loves these cutleries because they're super sexy. I have to say that word. I mean, I'm
cutlery can be sexy. I agree.
I know, and they're really heavy. So I have this gold.
Oh, these are pretty.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
And they're
so heavy, you know, and I use them for the holidays. They're very festive.
Yes.
So I have those, and I have black and gold that are coming in that I I read.
I need
design.
To get some.
Wait, what is the website name? What's the website?
I need to find a way. Right now we have issues with the port and the,
yeah.
and the post office. So, you know, until all that is fixed.
No, we could figure out something. It's Dominica Gourmet. Dominica Gourmet. And then I have coconut bowls on there. And I know we were running low. So, because once I mentioned it, everybody just flocked and said buying stuff. So, which is great.
That's a good problem.
Yes. They have been very supportive.
That's good.
Which I'm like, I was taken aback because I didn't realize that people were actually looking when you post stuff.
Yeah.
So, they did. And, you know, so we ordered more bowls. I'm not sure what it says now. It says out of stock, but we ordered a lot more. And we should have them in the next few weeks, like 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, well, congratulations to you, especially for pivoting, for seeing an opportunity where none existed. I mean, last year at this time, you didn't know you would have been doing this. So I think it's a lesson for all of us.
Yes, this is
an opportunity and a time to pivot. And to see, you know, where the opportunities are and how we can take advantage of them. So thank you again, Maima. Thank you for sharing all that information. And as we get ready to wind down, I want to go back to Neander. And before we even ask you anything, someone has a question for you. It's from Glenda. And she asks, what's your opinion on baking with foil health-wise?
Aluminum.
Yes,
okay.
Aluminum.
Aluminum. That's a challenge for a lot of cooks and chefs because foil is a big part of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what she can do, and a lot of people out there that don't want to use foil is you can get the stainless steel pans with the lids, the baking pans with the lids. So instead of covering your lamb or whatever it is, you put in the oven that needs covering with the foil, you just use the stainless steel lids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the next option.
Right. And now just tell us a little bit about your restaurant, where you're located, if you have a catering services, how we can hire you, because we certainly appreciate you guys being with us and just sharing all your wealth of information.
Of course. Well, due to the COVID, I had to shut down my restaurant, unfortunately. It's okay. But I do private catering, private dining. So for example, what I would be doing with Miss Knight is I'm going to go to her home and cook dinner. Well, it's more like a seafood thing. Cook for them, her and her family. And so I come to your home, I set up, make sure you have every, you know, all the pots and your pans, fridge, stove, oven. So we set up, we cook, we serve, and we clean up. So you just host.
Bravo.
So you do is host, and people love that because, you know, after you're cooking and then you have to go do the dishes and you can't host too well and you're tired. So you get to spend time with your guests. You know what I mean?
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. And how might we reach you? How can we contact you?
So my number is on the Facebook page, Instagram. It's 767-225-6368. Or you could email me at Medo Company.
Spell it.
M-E-D-O. Company, company 30 at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get me on there as well. Get me on social media, Facebook or Instagram. Just message
me. And your Medo Company on Facebook as well?
No, Medo's Kitchen on Facebook and Medo's Kitchen on Instagram.
Okay.
So
you are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Sanoa. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping.
helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
So again, you are just listening to the second half of the program that we did with the late Speaker of the House, Mrs. Alec Boyd Knight. And I really wanted to bring you this interview because there was such a backlash that she received on her passing and people had so many negative things to say. And I always like to remind us that people are not all bad. So even if there may have been qualities about her that we did not particularly like, as a whole person, she did make a contribution to our culture, especially as it relates to our Creole cuisine. And speaking of Creole cuisine, I will certainly be enjoying some Creole cuisine when I get to Dominica in October. I cannot wait to go home for the Creole Music Festival at the end of October. So I'm looking forward to immersing myself in our culture, in our music, our Creole wear, our cuisine, and all that makes Dominica unique and beautiful. So we're continuing along. We're continuing along with our great programming. And I hope that you've had an opportunity to either follow Push Past 10 on Facebook, again, PUSHPASD10 on Facebook, as well as YouTube, because we continue to grow. As a matter of fact, we are now holding steady with an audience of about 60,000 visitors every month on Facebook. So we are grateful for the support of the many, many people who stop by Facebook to show their support. And again, we continue to encourage everyone to take advantage of this audience by reaching out to me. If you have a small business and you're looking for advertising, you're looking for social media management, then I am more than happy to walk you through how you can, you know, increase your audience so that you're able to promote your business even greater. So again, if you're interested, you can always reach me at pushpast10@gmail.com, pushpast10@gmail.com. So pushpast10@gmail.com to figure out how we can collaborate together. And we will continue the great programming. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, Wednesday, the 13th of September, we will have a packed program for you on my Roots Connections program, which I do on Q95 FM radio in Dominica. Of course, thanks to technology, I'm able to do the program here in Atlanta and connect to the station and have all my guests connect virtually to the program. So tomorrow, we're looking at the healthcare industry in Dominica, which seems to be in quite a bit of a shamble. So we're looking at the healthcare industry. We've received so many complaints from folks who've gone to the hospital and have received such terrible service to the point where doctors are asking patients to bring in their medicine, to the point where when patients bring their medicine, they're being asked to leave the medicine at the hospital because the hospital is out of that particular medication. I mean, can you believe, really? Having to have patients bring their own medicine. I mean, I think it is just quite outrageous. So tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be joined by Dr. Erwin Pascal, Nurse Halima Ahmed Thomas, as well as Nurse Rosie Felix. And we are going to talk about what does it require? What does it take? The services and the supplies that are needed if you're saying that the Dominica China Friendship Hospital is a state-of-the-art hospital, because that is what we keep hearing. We keep hearing that we should be grateful for the state-of-the-art hospital that the government has built with the collaboration of China. But with all the complaints, we are going to reconcile. What does it mean when you say you have a state-of-the-art hospital? So it's going to be a very powerful conversation, and I hope that you can join us. And of course, if you miss that conversation, pushpast10.com is where you will be able to find it, as well as on Facebook at pushpast10. So again, thank you for being here. It is always great to be here with you for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. This is where we come every week to get powered up and energized for the week ahead and to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So we continue to journey along together and we continue to stay connected. So until we meet again next week at the same time, you have yourself a productive week. Remember to tap into your potential every day. Remember to stay strong, stay positive, stay active, and stay engaged. Until we meet again next week at the same time.